Hey Veritas, welcome to Sunday Recap. We are recapping Michael Rhodes' message from May 31st.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday. The end of our revival series. I've got Ian, the man himself, Crosby, Eyeball.
You call me Eyeball. No one else calls me Eyeball.
That's fine. That's what we're here for together. That's not what we're here for. Never mind. He's family ministry director here, and we're going to recap the sermon and just process application to hopefully help you apply this to your life, especially in the context of your connection group. So Michael was talking about God's global mission, and especially talking out of Revelation 5, this picture of Jesus being the Lamb that's worthy. Yeah. Ian, what do you think stops us as people in Veritas from getting involved in missions? Like, what's the hang-up? Yeah.
I think there can probably be a few different hang-ups. I think... One, people just don't, like, they forget about it. Like, it's not always something that's up in front of them. And so it's really easy to forget about. Like, we get so involved in our day-to-day living that it's really easy to forget that other places even exist sometimes. So I think that's a really big one. And then just not knowing how to engage in those areas can also be another hang-up I know people can have.
It can feel paralyzing if, I don't have international people currently in my life, my workplace, or I just don't know how to cross those barriers,
And I think messages like this are super important because anytime there's clarity given, it kind of gives a little more freedom to go about in those ways,
That's
too.
That's good, man, yeah. So again, Michael was in Revelation 5, and Big Mike was talking about this picture of mission. My question is, is this just in sections like Revelation 5? Like, is missions, God's heart for the world, is that just in, like, a couple places? Or is there a bigger storyline?
Yeah, I think it's all part of this bigger story. And one of the things that Michael touched on and talked about, which I think is just huge for us to really understand this, is this idea about God's glory everywhere and how missions isn't primarily about us going to places, but it's about... God's glory just being displayed and being talked about and him being glorified in the process. And so I think when we look at it from the perspective of God's glory, we see that entire scripture is all about God's glory. And so I think it's all about his mission.
That's good. Yeah. If God is worthy of being glorified here, of course he's worthy of being glorified everywhere in the world. And even when we think about how the gospel got to us, right? The gospel didn't originate in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, didn't originate in the Midwest. It originated halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And so people, generations before us, thought it was worthy for God to be glorified here, and we get to continue that on too.
Yeah. That's wild to think about too.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's cool.
We're part of this bigger story that God's been writing. Again, as we saw early in the series, God's glory is all over scripture. Mission is tied into that because God is worthy of being glorified everywhere.
Yeah.
So Big Mike drew out 4 points from the text that drive these truths that drive our mission. Yep. He said, God holds the fate of the world in his hands. The world is hopeless without outside help. We can't fix ourselves or save ourselves. Third point is, the world's salvation is found in Jesus alone. And the fourth one, Jesus is worthy of the world's worship. Okay, so which of these four do you personally need most to encourage you as you engage in God's mission?
Could you repeat them again real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry.
God holds the fate of the world in his hand. Lucky I haven't printed out. The world is hopeless without God's outside help. The world's salvation is found in Jesus alone. Jesus is worthy of the world's worship.
Yeah. I think one that is really motivating for me is that, like, the world is helpless outside of God's outside help. Like, I think there's a tendency, especially here in America, where it's like, I can get pretty much everything I need. Like, I can provide physically for myself in a lot of ways, and to be reminded that I can't provide my salvation. Like, I can't do that for myself. I can't do that for other people. No one can do it for themselves. And so I think for me, that was a really good motivating piece for me. Yeah. What about you? What was one of those that you're like, man, that was good?
I need to think about, like, God holds the fate of the world in his hands. Because there are times where I can feel like, man, we've got to get in, we've got to fix it, we've got to help, we got to do this, whatever. And it's like, all of my fears or worries about how we, like, solve the problem of sharing the gospel places, God's got it. And so in the adult ministry department, we were talking about the parable of the sower. And the sower's job is just to scatter the seed freely and openly and trust that there's power in the seed to grow.
Yeah.
And I love Romans 1:16. We brought it up last week with evangelism, but the gospel is the power of God for salvation, not how well I can exegete a culture or how well I can figure out how to share. Those things are really helpful, but ultimately, and God's in control, and so we get to go and be part of that. But now talk through that with me, okay? If God is in control, does he really need us in this mission, right? Why go if God holds the fate of the world in his hand and Jesus is the answer?
Yeah, and Michael made this to me. He's like God doesn't need us. Yeah. And at first you can be like, cool, so I'm off the hook. I don't got to do anything. All good.
Application this week, done. God's got it.
And so, but he then followed it up, or at least in the second service. I don't know what he did in the first service, but in the second service, he followed up with, but God loves us enough to use us. And I don't think I necessarily have ever really thought about it that way. It's like I've heard the, he doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us.
Yeah.
But then Michael taking a step further and even saying he loves us enough to use us. And like,
Big Mike.
It was just really like, me being a part of God's mission in the world and here, it's a loving thing for God to use me to do that. Like, it does something within me. It sanctifies me. Mm-hmm. It edifies me. It builds me up. Mm-hmm. And, I've just never really thought about it that. So that was really cool.
So if you listen to the message and you're feeling the weight of like, okay, I have to get involved, whatever, there's a responsibility we feel, but more than that, it's a relationship where God loves you enough to invite you into what he's doing, right? There's a guy named William Carey. Look him up. He's kind of the father of modern missions. He was a missionary to India, but when he was a young pastor in England, he went to kind of this pastor's meeting and talked about how, hey, there are people all across the world that we can sail to. This is back in the 1800s. We can sail to them and go share the gospel because they don't have the gospel. And this older pastor looks at him and goes, young man, if God wants to save the heathen, he doesn't need to ask you or me to do it. Which is like, okay, true, but that attitude behind it is totally wrong, right?
Yeah.
God's sovereignty doesn't stop him from using us or inviting us into what he's doing. Actually, his love fills that gap where he sovereignly chooses to use us.
Yeah, and if he loves us enough to use us for his mission, like, our response should be to want to go and do it too.
Yeah.
Like if someone I love is like saying, hey, you should go do this, like I should want to do that because I'm like, oh, that's good for me.
Yeah.
But so often we don't see it as something that is a loving act of God. We see it as like a command from God. And sometimes if we don't marry those two together, it can create some weirdness there. It
feels like a burden instead of a joy. Yeah. So Big Mike also gave specifics for how to get involved in God's global mission. He said, remind yourself of these truths to shift your perspective. Go, welcome people, pray, and help send others by giving, and then tell others these truths as you live.
Yeah.
What's one step that maybe you've been processing since yesterday or one thing that God might be inviting you into in your life?
Yeah, I think one that I've never really experience myself, I guess, would be the welcome internationals that are here. Like, I guess I've just never had a ton of interaction with internationals here or in a lot of other places, to be honest. And so I think that was a really challenging one of like, hey, I need to have my eyes open to, hey, where are the internationals that are around us that the world has literally come to our city? Yeah. It's like, what does it look like for me to engage the world here? And so that's one that was challenging for me and one that I need to keep my eye and heart open to more. One that my wife and I are really trying to be more proactive on is just telling people here as we go about everyday living. And so whether that's our neighbors or her coworkers and just people that we come in contact with, are thinking through how can we use this as an opportunity to bring Jesus into our conversation and to display Jesus in the way we live around them.
That's super good. Yeah. And in the adult ministry department, we're working on some local missions or local missionary focuses to even give more clear on-ramps for you guys. But one of the ones we're thinking about is, God's brought the nations here. So how do we partner with Kirkwood to do like English mentoring or mentoring international students? Or I know the Catherine McCauley Center has like refugee resettling or English partners, things that doesn't take a lot of time and certainly doesn't take a lot of experience, but just stepping in to build that relationship as a chance to create bridges for the gospel. Yeah. I think it's
and
huge.
Something that's been really encouraging to me is just like the stories of people within our church who have done that.
Yeah.
Like people at call-ins who like they see their coworkers as their mission field. Like, like there's a ton of people that I would never get the chance to interact with here and engage with the gospel that God has brought them to me. And so like I have no excuse not to. So that's been encouraging and challenging to hear some of those stories too.
And going is one that might feel the most distant for many of us, but guys, God is calling people in our church to move across the world for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but I know we as a church aren't absent from that. And in fact, we put a decal up on the wall. When you come back to church, check it out. It's by the elevator. Mm-hmm. With these global cities with university students who speak English, many of them, that we're trying to send summer teams to, but more than that, send long-term church planning teams. Maybe this message is actually the beginning of God stirring that in you. And as a way to test that, pray.
Yep.
Start praying for the nation. Start praying for these other people that don't have the gospel. And start with your circles around you, right? You're not sanctified by, you know, crossing an ocean on an airplane, right? There's no such thing as airplane sanctification. But
have you looked into it?
I mean, I haven't seen anything in the Bible about airplane sanctification. But if it worked, man, I would love. Let's buy some tickets now. But if you start welcoming the people God's put around you, your neighbors, international people around, that might even be a way that God continues to affirm and refine a calling overseas. There's a couple that I worked with in Ames. They were just volunteers, but they started loving Iranian people around them at Iowa State and started learning Farsi just as a way to get to know their Iranian friends and have dinner with them. They ended up moving to a country, not Iran, but another country around where a lot of Iranian refugees were, and students and stuff, in order to share the gospel with them.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Yeah, things like that. But they had kids in high school. They were well into their careers. They weren't in their 20s. They were more like in their 40s and 50s. So God's mission isn't restricted by age. Many in this church, I think, should go be part of what God's doing.
And I think as we also like pray for God to use us, not just here, but everywhere, and to also pray for him to break your heart for the world. And I think as we start praying for God to do that work within us, like we start becoming more burdened and burdened for those things too. And it can even open the door for some of those things to happen.
That's good. Ian, you're a family ministry director.
Yeah.
Any particular coaching for parents or for families to think about God's global mission?
Yeah. So I know a family that does this. I think it might even be the Rhodes. I don't know.
Big Mike.
I know a few families who they like make it a part of their active like prayer time together as a family, where they'll pull out a map and be like, "Hey, choose a place that you want to pray for." And a kid will point out to a random country and like they pray specifically for the gospel to go there. And so I think that's just a really easy way to teach your kids as a family, like we care about God's glory everywhere so much that we're going to pray for these countries that you can't even pronounce yet. And we're going to pray for them, pray for the gospel to go there. And I have no doubt that God uses those moments to start stirring more affection for him, but then also more passion for the world to know him too. So I think that's a really easy, tangible way, and not just for like families with kids. Like that's something that I hear. I'm like, my wife and I, we need to do better at that. Like we need to do better at not just praying for like the people we know here, but praying for the world to know Jesus.
Yeah. And again, when you're back around the building, you can look at the map we've got downstairs, pick a dot on the map and start praying that God would have a church planting team there. There's a website called Joshua Project that can send you like an unreached people group of the day. So people that have less than 3% Christian, they can't church plant and evangelize themselves. It can send you a reminder to start praying, or you can go there with your kids, with your family, and start doing that as well. Connection groups this week. This might feel like a message that has less tangible application, but connection groups, we'd love for you to start praying together and even praying for long-term workers you can give financially to, give encouragement to, things like that. We can't share all that information publicly, but if you ask specifically, we can tell you some of the names and places people have been working and will be working again once they can get back in their countries post-COVID.
Yeah,
cool. Thanks for joining Sunday Recap. We love getting to apply these messages with you and hope this has been a blessing to you and your connection group.